hello.
Hello, good morning, how are you?
So nice to have you with
us. Thank you so much.
That's not your walk on music. Your walk on, we asked you to walk on music, and you love a spaghetti western, don't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, yes. Yes.
So check out what you've picked on vinyl, no less. Listen to this. Ladies and gentlemen, Sally Phillips.
Come on now.
Hey!
Yeah, Ennio Morricone.
Get better than that, does it?
Yeah.
Have you always loved spaghetti westerns?
No, I don't. I don't really love spaghetti westerns. I was going to do a. I was going to study.
Just literally stopped. Hang on.
Yeah, I do like. I do like them.
Oh, she did. Back
on. Just. It's good though, isn't it?
Yeah. You ever done a western?
No.
But up for it? Anyone's listening? Any western producers listening?
I don't tend to make them anymore. They did a. They did a noodle, a ramen western recently in Japan.
Oh wow! Great.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'd be up for a western.
Good.
I don't know where I'd play. I'm allergic to horses. Hey, I'm reeling from the news that the Margaret Thatcher soft scoop ice cream thing isn't true.
Isn't it extraordinary?
Because I've been dining out on that. In fact, I was on a podcast only last night.
And you talked about it last night?
I talked about that. Like, isn't that the weirdest thing? And then I was like, no,
Scott
come
Huggins.
On, that is true.
But also,
it's so compelling, the idea that...
How you start a rumour pre-social media that...
Yeah.
It's a it's not even, it didn't work for a newspaper or anything. It just started a rumour.
Well, I guess it only works pre-social media. Smack the Pony, when we were first doing that, we used to have a thing where you had to tell one big lie per interview. And you couldn't do that now.
Remember when Emily Blunt and James Blunt first started? They had a pact where any bit of promo they did, they said they were related.
Then
I literally fell for it hook, line and sinker.
Yeah.
And I had this moment where Emily Blunt went, oh, thanks so much, you'll send me a love. And she left. And then about a week later, I'd realised, and I was like, hey, that's not okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Sally.
It's so compelling, though, the idea that Margaret Thatcher had worked out
absolutely.
How to sell the public air as ice cream. I mean, and I love the idea of people's side hustles becoming what they're really best known for.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, like Keanu Reeves' motorbikes.
Yeah, what is it, George Clooney's tequila?
Tequila, yeah. Margot Robbie's gin.
Yeah.
That's apparently got prawns in it.
Prawny gin? Wonderful.
Prawny gin. If you've got a fish allergy, do not touch Papa Salt.
Well, listen, welcome to the show. We're talking
Thank
Austin.
You. Yes.
On the 4th of April, it goes on 9:30 BBC One, and they all then become available on iPlayer. I remember speaking to... We had Ben Miller in this morning a while ago talking about something different, but we touched on it. So I was really looking forward to speaking to you about it. So this is... Ben could have played like a national treasure, kind of a Julia Donaldson style kind of author, right?
Yes.
And you're the illustrator.
I'm the illustrator. So we're a husband and wife, author, illustrator team of children's books.
Yeah.
And we've got this character, Big Bear, and we've been doing that together for nearly 30 years in the story. And our side of the story is inspired by something that actually happened to Ben, where he accidentally signed... something in support of J.K. Rowling, I think.
Yeah.
And suddenly was like nearly cancelled.
Yeah.
But he thought what he'd signed, the thing he'd signed was quite a reasonable thing.
Yeah.
But J.K. Rowling was attached and so he was nearly struck off.
And in this instance...
What he's done is we're a married couple. We've been doing these books for years. Our daughter's just left home for university. We decided to do a book tour around the world as a bit of a sort of reignite our marriage. And he, in the middle of the night with jet lag in Australia, in Canberra, retweets a neo-Nazi.
Yeah.
He retweets a reasonable statement by a neo-Nazi.
About freedom of speech.
But
doesn't know he's a neo-Nazi.
Exactly.
Then, yeah.
But the story's really not about us. It's actually about a young man called Austin who has never known who his dad is, who's just found out that his dad is, in fact, Ben Miller's character, Julian. And he lives in Canberra and he comes to find us. So at the same time as Julian is being cancelled, this young man turns up and says, I'm your son. And this is played by a brilliant actor called Michael Cia, who Australian audiences have fallen in love with from Love on the Spectrum. And American audiences love him from that as well. And
what is Love on the Spectrum? I don't know.
It's autistic people looking for and finding love.
So he was just a contestant in that, yeah.
But
he is an actor, right?
He is now an actor. So he's always wanted to be an actor.
Right.
And he kind of learnt to talk from watching cartoons. He would just repeat and repeat and repeat. The characters he liked and the voices that he liked. And but, you know, life wasn't going that way for Michael. He was a kitchen fitter. He was putting strips of pretend wood around pretend wood doors for kitchens.
Right. Yeah.
And consequently really hates Christmas because he said, you know, those women, they want their kitchens for Christmas and it's ruined Christmas for me.
Oh,
no,
what a shame.
Yeah, and he just had no hope of any of that happening for him. And he was, yeah, blue-collar worker, and life was a bit tough, and he was, you know, bullied at work,
yeah,
and working very long hours. And then he became a contestant for Love on the Spectrum. Everyone's like, this man is A, adorable, mm-hmm, and B, completely hilarious.
Yeah.
And Ben and his director friend Darren Ashton thought, I wonder if we can make a sitcom around him.
Right, so whose brainchild is it? Because I was wondering,
Ben and Darren, and then Ben kind of proposed to me, you know, will you come and be my on-screen wife?
Yeah.
And it's mainly them, but I did contribute to developing it together around Michael, with Michael contributing to how the character was. And one of the wonderful things, I mean, he's really, really funny. I mean, yeah, you've seen the first act.
Yes, brilliant.
He's really funny and he's really touching. And it's amazing to think he's never acted before.
Yeah, that's where the surprise comes from.
And they gave him a trial run on a kids' show. And he did, you know, did like a 5-minute part. They went, yeah, no, I think he can handle it. And we were all on tenterhooks during the first season. Like, how's this going to be? Is he going to manage it? How's he going to manage crowds and lights and all of that? And no problem. Just no problem. He has less of an entourage than most American stars and fine.
Because you've got experience with neurodivergence, right?
Yes.
So he... Well, you weren't worried about, presumably the lines and delivering the lines and the attention to detail was the thing you weren't worried about.
No, we were worried about everything because, you know, you've met one autistic person.
Sure.
Everybody is different. You can't generalise at all. And you just don't know what people's triggers are.
But having met him before, I mean, it wasn't the lines and the learning, because that's what he always dreamed of, what he wanted to do.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't know things like, you know, that you could interrupt a take if you got it wrong. We're like, don't worry, we can, you know, we can piece this together as a jigsaw if you can't get through it. And he definitely could get through it. He was fine with that. Yeah, I think it was more for him, it's more noise and big crowds. And then we've just finished shooting the second season. The first season's gone out in Australia and been a big hit, thank goodness.
It's always nice.
And yeah, thank God. sigh of relief. The second season, he was having to play against his character. So do things that he, Michael, definitely wouldn't do. Yeah. Behave really badly.
Yeah.
And that hurt him and was much more... He needed more time to recover from that.
Yeah.
And there were lots more crowds in the second season, and that, I think, was a bit more. But, I mean, it's still, you know... what we realised is that... You know, we're just all a bit weird in different ways. Mm-hmm. We all have different things that we can and can't handle. There was a funny thing on the first series where, I mean, I can't drive. Very embarrassing, deeply ashamed of that. Do need to sort that out. Never tried, really. I can't drive, Michael can drive. And Michael would drive me around. So there's all this thing about Michael supposedly is the one with the disability. Michael was chauffeuring me around, and Ben left his keys. He'd left his car keys or his passport in the safe in the hotel, and Michael had to rescue Ben by driving back to his room. Rescue the pair of us.
We are going to play a song, and we're going to play a bit of Shakira Waka Waka. This is a family theme tune, right, for you? This is what you used to dance
How
on
do you
the bed
that?
To?
Because we
deep dive. We follow you for a week. You don't even know we're there before you come on the show. And so this is slightly creepy. This is really,
this
is really sweet. You used to have the kids on the bed and dance.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's such a nice story.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was lovely. I mean, it was like one of the happiest times of my life, sitting there with the kids doing shows. And there's when the kids were too young, I've got three boys, where the kids were too young to... object to me sending them to Kid Zumba in the local library. They had moves.
Ali Phillips is our guest today. She is the star of Austin, which is out on the 4th of April. It's all available on iPlayer. It's very good. And you, alongside Ben Miller and Michael Thea, but you and Ben were in you weren't at university together, were you? But you were at different comedy groups at different times.
Yes, he was at a university that had a better comedy troupe than mine. and so we slagged them off. I remember going on tour to his university and picking up a magazine that had a photo of Ben Miller on the cover saying, Ben Miller, Renaissance man, hurling the magazine across the room going,
who is this?
Yeah, who is this guy?
What was he like? Did you know him at uni?
I didn't. He was incredibly nice, to be honest, but he was also very cool. I thought he was very cool. Maybe that says more about me, but I mean, I thought he was very cool. He had, you know, Billy Idol bleached hair.
Pretty cool.
And he had been going out with Rachel Weisz.
Incredibly cool.
Very cool. And he'd released a single,
what?
I think. Yeah, and as a student was already writing for Smith & Jones on the telly. So he was, and he had just won Best Actor at the National Student Drama Awards, playing Hamlet, I think. And so he was like, this is like, and he was doing an astrophysics PhD. So it's like, this man is an overachiever.
Right, he is a Renaissance man.
He is. Well,
chucking that magazine
I didn't. I didn't know him at that point. I was just like, I just thought it was weird that students were bigging students up like that. But yeah, he was kind of a remarkable human being.
And then, did you do Edinburgh together, or did you?
We
at the same
were
time?
In Edinburgh at the same time and saw each other's stuff. And he was indeed very good. And then. He was just quite a lot cooler and more out there than I was when we came to London.
Is this the first time you've worked together on this? Or
We've done little things together. I mean, I did when he and Alexander Armstrong were making a pilot for, or taster tapes for their show, Miller and Armstrong.
I used to love that show.
They asked me to come and do like bits for free. So I sort of mucked about with them a bit.
Yeah.
And then David Baddiel had this idea for a sitcom, Oman Court, that was entirely improvised. And the idea was that it was in a big tower block and there was all the different people who lived in the different flats. Mm-hmm. And I was in that and they were in that. And what happened is David Baddiel, it's one of the, I don't know about great failures, but one of the big failures with light entertainment. He got us all in rooms over about 6 weeks improvising. And he got people, he filmed it and got people to write up the tapes. And then he was presented with a room full of paper. You just went, oh my God,
I don't want to do this.
I couldn't even read it through, you know, and the whole thing failed.
So we were
in that together. We haven't really done anything together, no.
So what was the first kind of, like, foot on the ladder for you? What was the big break? Was it Partridge was the big break, or?
Well, I guess other people tell you what your big break was, but I thought I was doing fine before Partridge.
Yeah.
I did a show called, what was it called? Two Men and a Baby or something? Or Holding the Baby. Mm-hmm. And that was on ITV. I was about 25, I think. And Nick Hancock played a single dad. Nick Hancock was, I think, I mean, maybe he'll ring in and tell you this isn't true, but I think he was trying to score as many unsuccessful pilots as possible. So
how come?
He wanted, because he didn't actually want to be on telly. So he wanted to pass go, collect the $6,000 or $10,000 or whatever it was for being a leading man in a sitcom. But he didn't actually want to go out. So he was trying to select all these shows that didn't have a hope in hell. And this was one of them. And so I was in that. And unfortunately for Nick, that made it.
Yeah.
And we did a first season and it was bad. He was completely right. He should never have made it. And so he then resigned and was replaced by Hugh Bonneville. So I was in sitcoms on ITV, basically.
Yeah,
I was doing fine.
And of course,
I was doing live stuff.
It's always someone else's prism, right? But at the same time, did you, after Partridge, did you get that? Did you feel like there was a bit more of a heat in terms of what you were getting offered?
After that, I did Smack the Pony, I think.
Yeah.
But I just had this thing, I just wanted to do good stuff. And so for me, Partridge was heaven because Steve and, Armando is a genius.
Yeah.
And so is Steve.
Yeah.
And we were all present for all of the rehearsals, throwing in ideas. It was the closest you could get to a writer's room in the UK at that point. And it was just, you know, completely exhilarating to be near people being so brilliant and trying something new as well. It's the first time I'd done a sitcom, making it look like it was on location when it was, in fact, in front of an audience.
I think it's the evolution of the character. So
the evolution of the character, exactly. And it was just so much fun.
Did you do when you watch it back, it always feels quite raw and quite improvised. Was it a kind of one-two takes as you went, or did you?
It wasn't improvised, but it was improvised in the rehearsal room.
Yeah.
So there was a skeleton script, and then you'd rehearse it and try and improve it and finesse it, and then you'd fix it. But yeah, I was barely in it, but I was just such a fan of the whole process that I'd do my bit at the beginning, and then I'd run downstairs to the green room and sit right in front of the telly. And
all the scenes you were in, do you know what I mean? It was always...
I was present for the scenes. Yeah. I was so proud of myself acting, and then everyone thought I was just corpsing at Steve. It's like, no,
by nature, you're a smiler, aren't you?
I am now.
Yeah.
I mean, like the rictus grin, like my face is sort of settled that way, yeah. You too.
And did you? Oh, yeah, I'm a huge fan. Did you go to clown school?
I did.
In Paris?
He was here. Goliot was here at Philippe Goliot. He was here at that point. But I've been to quite a few clown schools now.
What's
I love
like?
It.
Because it's fascinating. Like, I've just sort of read a bit about it. Did Toby Jones go to one of those?
Yes.
Yeah. And who was the first person I heard, or maybe Mark Rylance went to one?
Well, Emma Thompson went to the same one, and Helena Bonham Carter,
what's it like?
And Sacha Baron Cohen. Brilliant. I think it's brilliant. I mean, yeah, I think it's completely, completely brilliant.
But
it's
kind
of the opposite of... what was Stanislavski, where you might be putting back history on. With clowning, you're just taking everything off and you're being your pathetic self.
Lovely.
Or, yeah, just a completely undefended self, kind of optimistic twit.
And
it's very forgiving and very funny. There is actually a clown convention, a clown congress happening in Bristol on the 5th and 6th of April.
I love the way you're plugging that as well as Austin.
Yeah, where all the clowns, or lots of the clowns in the UK are going to get together to discuss the future of clowning. I recommend
it. Are you going?
I'm going to go. I can go on the Saturday. I can't go on the Sunday. Robin Hambrook. Recommend.
Is that specific Philippe Goliot?
No. Anyone who's interested in
clowning. You can have a Stanislavski clown there as well. So, Sally, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Austin starts on the 4th of April on BBC One and iPlayer. Sally Phillips, thank you.
Thank you.